Go listen to it one more time. I love you, my Lord, with all my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you, I love you, my Lord. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful we can come here this morning just to be in your presence, Lord Jesus, where you promised to be. And we just take you at your word this morning that you will perform all that you promised, Lord, and meet our needs, Lord Jesus. And Father, so many things that we don't understand, Lord Jesus, just come, Lord, and bring the understanding as we need it, Lord, and just help us to press on and walk forward, Lord Jesus, and always keeping you as our focus, as our center of our life, Lord Jesus, that we will not be thrown to swerve aside one way or the other, but only pressing on, Father. We have such a short time to go yet. We don't know how long, but Father, the signs are there that shows that we just have a little bit of time just to keep pressing in to the very end, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. It's only by your strength that we can do this. And we are expecting now, Lord Jesus, that you will come and strengthen us this morning. Bless us now, I pray. Bless the ones who are not here, Lord, wherever they are. Just keep them in your arms and your strength, Lord Jesus. And we ask this all in your name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bible to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we'll read one verse there. Hebrews 12 and 1. God bless you. It's a beautiful day outside. Y'all wanted rain, didn't you? Absolutely. Cool down a little bit. Anyways, Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Have a seat. We'll just look at that a little bit. He said, We got so many witnesses. There's so many people who have gone before. There's so many people around us. We have seen so many testimonies, and we see the power of God in people's life. He said, so because of this, we have all these witnesses, and they're all telling us, press on. Everyone who's made it, if they could stand here today, they would say, press on. It is worth the struggle. It is worth the fight. It's worth the walk. It's worth whatever you have to die to. Just keep pressing on. That's what the witnesses are saying. And then he said, because of this, lay aside every weight. That's anything that would come against us. If you ever try to run and you're carrying something heavy, you're going to find out you don't like carrying that heavy thing because you can't run as well. Sometimes people, they'll carry extra water with them when they're running long races, and they have a pack on their back with water in it. And they're running, but it's a lot harder running with that weight. And so what he's saying is lay aside all this weight. Get rid of anything that's weighing you down. Get rid of anything of the world that's weighing you down and keeping you from running the race, because after a while it'll tire you out and you'll be turned aside. You have to sit down and rest. Get rid of the weight. And then he said also, and lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race. So it's a long distance run. It's like, wow, I wish we could get done. This is like, I'm just tired. Just run with patience. But to run with patience, a long distance race, you got to lay aside the weight. Also the sin which does so easily beset us. Easily. It's not hard, because what? We all have weaknesses, and we all have gates into our spirit realm, and Satan knows how to push that button at the right time to get you weak, and when you're at your weakest point, and then he gets you, and we struggle with these besetting sins. And it discourages us. We're ready to quit. I say, oh, am I ever going to stop doing this? Is this ever going to quit going through my mind? And we have all, whatever it is, we all have these weaknesses, besetting sins. And God allows that sometimes just because it makes us depend on him. Because he wants us to see how weak we are and how strong he is. Because anytime you ever get your mind that, well, I can handle this, well, I can do this, well, I'm doing this, whatever, you are off the path. Everything. He wants to take care of everything. All right? Amen. Now I'm going to read out of Psalm 63, verse 1. It says this. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So here David, he's saying, I have such a thirst, such a longing for God, and I'm struggling finding this satisfaction. In another place he says, you lead me beside the still waters. He said, there is a place where I can be satisfied, but he recognizes it's only through God. And the key here is when you are thirsty, when you're longing for something, when you're lonely, when you have something missing, when you might be with all kinds of, but there's just something you're longing for, and you try the things of the world, hopefully not too much of it, if you understand what I mean, but like you fellowship, you talk on the phone, or you do whatever, but what there's something that only he can satisfy. And if we can recognize that, brother, sister, that he is the one to go to when you come to this place where spiritually you're thirsting, you're dried up, and it happens all the time. You ever go through deserts? You feel like you're not a Christian anymore? You can pray and pray, and it seems like God's a million miles away, and you read the Bible, and it's reading a newspaper, and you listen to a sermon, and it's just not getting to you at all, and it's like, where is God? And this is where Satan, then he tries to step in and say, well, why don't you try a little of this, or why don't you do this a little bit, or why don't you go here, or why don't you do this? And a lot of times, these things aren't wrong at all. It's just that God wants us thirsting for him and seeking him instead of these other things in that time. A lot of times we look for some kind of escape out of this horrible, but we look to the wrong thing. He says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Think of the services you've been in. Every one of us. We've been in services. The power of God was so strong, you couldn't hardly stand up, you couldn't hardly sit down, you couldn't be quiet, you couldn't help. I mean, it was just so strong. And then a week later, it's like, there's nothing. Where is the power of God now? God does that on purpose, friends. So we walk by faith instead of all those wonderful feelings and all that. But we still need to be drinking from the fountain. We still need God to satisfy us. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. When we get to that point where we recognize that we need God more than anything else, and we need God more, nothing else in the world will satisfy us. There's not enough entertainment. There's not enough friendship. There's nothing in the world, not enough money. There's not anything, jobs, whatever you want to look at, nothing will satisfy you because God is better than life. When you get to that point, now you're going to get somewhere with God, because then you come to a place of desperation where you say, God, I got to have you. Nothing else is going to work. He says, well, I'm here for you. But you got to get there. Now, you can't work that up, friends. God has to bring you to that point too. It's all God. Your sincerity don't get it. You can be as sincere as you can be and still be complete. You can be sincerely and very wrong in your sincerity. You can try as hard as you want, but that's not going to get it. It's got to be God brings you to that place, but you just believe he's going to do it. But what if he doesn't? Well, then you're lost. That's just as simple as it is. If God don't bring you there, you're lost. But if you're his kid, he's going to bring you there, so quit worrying about it. The problem that we need to do is find out who we really are and then live like it. Walk by faith. He said, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. He said, I will be satisfied. Here he's talking, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. But he said, but my soul will be satisfied. If that could be our testimony, is when we're going through a hard time. But don't just, oh God, I just know what I'm going to do. Yes, you do know what you're going to do. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to keep pressing on because he gave you a promise that he will satisfy whatever you're thirsting for. That's right. So many times we end our prayer, we're praying like a desperate, oh God, this is a problem going on, and I don't know how this is going to be taken care of. And we just kind of like, God, I don't know what to do. Oh my goodness, well, that's not faith. If something's going on, pray faith. God, this is tearing me up. I don't know how to handle this. I put it in your hands, but you promised me. I'm going to stand on your promise. You said you will take care of my needs. You are still Jehovah Jireh. Then he'll move. So many times he doesn't move because we're not praying faith. We're just praying just anguish and despair. He wants you to come in despair, but he wants you to come with faith while you're in despair. That's what being a Christian is about. He said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Look at that. He can't even sleep. He's awake at night. He's just praying. He's just meditating. God, I know I've been in your presence. I've seen what you did for me before. You've done this for me. You've done this for me. And I know I'm in a hard place right now. I'm dried up. I just feel so lost. But I remember what it's like. I know what it's like. I know what you've done for me. You haven't let me go. Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Thou hast been. He can look back at the past and see what he's done for me. And that means he's still with me now. He's going to be with me in the future. Because he said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth thee. My soul followeth. It's seeking him. It's seeking him. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. The enemy. The ones that hate you. The ones that give you the hard time, the spirits and the demons that harass you, and they hit you in your weak places and make you feel so bad, and they give you these horrible thoughts and all this junk going on, and they get you so tore up in your mind that you can't even hardly get any sleep, and you know it's the devil. Oh my. Satan will give, maybe you can testify to this. Satan will give me a thought, and I'll take that, and I'll take that, and 3 seconds later, my mind is tore up. I'm so weak sometimes in my mind. And I'm tore up, and you know, pretty soon I said, wait a minute. I'm having this, you know, this thoughts going through my mind, whatever. I said, wait a minute. What are you doing? You're getting emotionally escalated over nothing that actually happened. It's just what if. How are you gonna handle that? How are you gonna handle that? What if this person says that? Or maybe they did say that. Well, if they say that again, this is what I'm going to do. Do you ever do this? So I'm not the only human one here, huh? Don't and you stop and say, this isn't God. God didn't give me that thought and get me escalated like this. So why am I chasing after that? You know why we do it? We protect in ourselves. If that situation comes up, I'm going to handle this. So I'm going to tell that person this. I'm going to handle this way to protect me and my reputation and my pride, because I don't like being disrespected. Satan's he's a pretty smart fella. He knows us. But we know God. Those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. Those enemies that come against you, those besetting sins, will all be destroyed. You will come to a point sometime when you no more have to face that enemy. Well, you no more have to deal with it. But that time is not yet. All right? He said, the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. It's going to end, brother and sister. We press on. We get through this battle. We get through this life. And we're going to step into a body where we don't have those battles anymore. It's going to be quite a time, isn't it? All right. Let me read what the prophet says. He said, listen, don't miss this now. Okay, let me give some backstory here. He's talking about David. When David wanted to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, back to the city of David, and he put it on that new cart. And it's in this sermon, trying to do God a service without it being his will. He's talking about how David, he said, first thing they consulted the priest, consulted the dignitaries, consulted the military, consulted all the congregation, the neighborhood, to get together for this great meeting to come. But they failed to do it right. They didn't consult God. And by doing so, not going back and see what time it was. So here he said, they're being as religious as they could. They got anointed. They consulted all the ministry. They consulted all the wise people, all the strong people, all the people of dignitaries. The whole message realm was saying, yeah, this is the thing to do. These were God's people. He said, but they did not go back and see what time it was. He said, what time are we living in? What's the age? What's the hour that we're in? It's not time for these things that we're talking about. That's past. Judgment is on hand now. And I was talking to Brother Jim Thursday night about how, you know, we used to go to camp meeting after camp meeting and all these special meetings. And it was a thing to do. But lately, last several years, it's like that. Hardly anyone does that anymore. I mean, some people still do, but I haven't been in a camp meeting. I don't know when. And all this stuff. And it wasn't something I just decided, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I just lost my desire to go. And I would love to go to some of these, but it just, God don't put on my heart to go. And I was thinking, well, what was the difference? I believe that was a time to do that. I believe now he just moved us past for whatever reason. I'm not going to sit here and say what a reason. And if you want to go to camp meetings, please go. I'm not saying don't go. But just on my own heart, it's just been taken away, the desire. But as my heart is to be here in church when I can be and let the word come, and the word that's been coming across the pulpit here has been changing me in the last several years to what I'm supposed to be. It was just time. I don't understand that. Maybe I'll go to 10 camp meetings next year. I don't know. I'm just saying that as right now, this is what it is because this is how he's leading me. And I notice a lot of people around here haven't been going to meetings either for whatever reason. But what we want to do is look what time it is. What's the age? Is it time to be building new churches? Is it time to be starting new denominations? Is it time to be whatever it is? But he said, this is the time of judgment. He preached this in 65. This is 50 or 60 years later. I don't know. We're still in time of judgment. Look around. Look around. This is a time of judgment. The things that are hitting this world. He said, judgment is at hand now. You can see it breaking. You remember the rock up on the mountain? It's judgment hour. You remember the revelation of the vision of the bride? He talked about when he saw the bride. You know, he saw the bride. She came. She was beautiful. Then he saw the church, and it was just the most horrible thing. And then he said, but now we're going to see the bride again, and that bride passed in review again. He said, just keep her in step. Don't let her get out of step. And the last thing he saw when that bride was going out, he said, a couple people in back, a couple of the ladies in back, they started getting out of step, and he was screaming at them, stay in line, stay in line. And that's what he's saying. This is the judgment time. He said, keep her in step, stay in line. And that's exactly what we need to be doing, because we got the word. If we've had the word given to us, the message of the hour, and it's telling us how to walk in line. And the way you do that is walk in the light for your hour. He's not talking about just make sure you follow all the rules. That's what the average message believer would say. Well, follow all the rules, follow all the rules. That's not how you stay in line. You stay in line by recognizing Christ in your day and walking in the light as he leads you. That's why you stay in line. And so many people, they're getting out of line because they don't see the light anymore, because there is no light where they're at. It's been put outside the church. Don't get out of step. Here we are at the very end time, and it's so easy. You see this person just fading away and that person fading away and people completely leaving the church and this minister leaving and that church shutting down. And you see all this stuff going on as the people are getting out of step and wandering here and wandering there. But remember, that's not the people he was talking about. He was looking at the bride, and the bride herself was starting to get out of line. There you go. That's the problem. Get back in line. It's so tempting. It's so easy to do. You know how Satan does it? Just what I talked about. He sees the weakness. He sees the needs you have. He sees the thirst you have. He sees the besetting sin. And he tries to get you just like he got Eve. He knew that Eve lusted for something. You know what she lusted for? Knowledge. Human beings lust for knowledge. We like to be smart. We like to be smarter than the next fellow. We like to be more holy than the next fellow. And we like to do all these. And if he can't get you running off, chasing after the things of the world, he'll get you off running off chasing religious things. Just like Eve. And he knows where your weakness is. He's been watching you since before you were born. He saw your great-grandparents, your grandparents, your parents. He knows the strains that go down through that line, through your heritage. And he sees you as you're growing up. He says, ah, she's got this weakness. Oh, he got a problem with that, just like his granddaddy did. And then he sets traps and he sets things. He makes things in a way so that when you are getting older, you start getting these complexes and things. You get in these fears and you get these things the way you deal with things, because he knows how to twist and turn everything to get you as weak as possible. He's very good at it. You think you're going to defeat him? Ain't going to happen. Only Christ can do that. So he appeals to our fleshly desire. We get angry, or we get lonely, or we get needy, or whatever it is, and you know we need to control the situation, and so he gives us the means to control a situation. You know what temper tantrums are usually about? Control. We're going to control it with my temper. I'm going to control it with my pouting. I'm going to control it with my passive aggressiveness. I'm going to control it with my money. I'm going to control it by just leaving you alone. You know, just shun you or whatever it is. We're always looking for a way to control people. How about we control them by love? Well, that would be an idea. Genesis 22 and 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You all know what we're talking about. We're at Isaac's on the altar. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God. I'm sorry. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So here is Abraham, his most beloved thing he had, the possession he had, his son. And God said, go destroy what you love the most. And Abraham said, okay. But why did he do that? Because he knew that there was a promise of Isaac, that Isaac had to be alive to fulfill that promise. And so he said, even if I receive him from the dead, one time, if I kill him, I can receive him back from the dead, because he knew there was a promise that Isaac had to fulfill. So he went up there and he said, I'm going to do what you said to do. You think Abraham wanted to? Of course he didn't want to. You don't ever want to hurt someone like that. But he was willing to lay it all down because God told him to. He said, now I know thou fearest God, that reverence for God. Whatever God tells me to do, I'll do it. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. So after he had done this, he spoke to him again. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. So God is swearing. He said, I'm just going to tell you this. I'm not just to promise you. I'm going to swear by myself what I'm about to do. He said, before, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withhold thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Who is this seed he's talking about? It's you. God had you in mind when he gave that promise to Abraham. He said, oh my goodness, I don't know, that's really a stretch, Brother Phil. It's not a stretch at all. Because the natural Israel was not the real Israel, the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham was a seed by faith, Christ. Right? So he was telling you, I have sworn to you that you will possess the gate of your enemy. I really like that, because I'm so sick of fighting these enemies that are always just running through my gates. But the promise is, I will possess those gates and the enemy won't. But when did it happen? After the test. After the test, it proved who he was. Then he was given the further promise. He had given Abraham all these promises about Isaac, but this promise didn't come till after the test. So friends, it's the same with you and me. After the test is proven that we will follow God, that we will lay aside all these weights and the sin that beset us, when we are willing to be completely surrendered to his will, then that promise can take effect. And wonder why you've been tested and tried here? Wonder why you go through the things you go through? He's testing you, because he's not going to, that promise is not in effect until after it's been proven, after you've been proven. Hebrews 5, 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, he's talking about Jesus here, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. The suffering is the test. We suffer, we've been tested and proven, then it becomes our promise. But if we don't fail the test, there's two options. If he gives you the test, we don't fail it. Lots of people fail the test and they just walk away. I'm not going to put up with this. This is too much suffering for me. I don't have to die to myself. I don't have to go to church like this. I don't have to serve this kind of a God. I don't like the way things are going. But when you stick it out and you prove who you are, then the promise is in effect. And if you're one of his kids, you fail it, you're going to get it again and again and again. You've seen some people, they fail the test, they walk out of here and they never come back. Haven't been in these doors for years. But you keep coming back. Because when you fail the test, he says, you're still my kid. Just because you failed this and just because you failed that and just because you're ready to walk away, I'm going to bring you back. Because all the Father has given me or will come, and I won't lose a single one. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know that you're not the one holding yourself here? You're not the one who's keeping yourself coming to church. You're not the one who's doing this. It's something that's greater than you. Some despise the chastening and just walk out. They're done. Let's talk about these gates a little bit. He said, a man is made of a triune being, a soul, body, and spirit. The outside is the body. They have five gates to that body. Five senses, of course, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Inside of like the seed that's planted, the inside of that is the pulp like of the seed, which is the spirit. These five gates that you enter into, conscious, memory, reasoning, affection, and all these kind of things. Inside of that little compartment is the third compartment, which is the soul, and that's what controls the rest of it. There's only one avenue through that, and that's self-will. You can accept or turn away, and that's the only avenue to that. If you accept the will of God through that spirit, God's spirit takes his place in your heart and controls the rest of you. If you do not accept that, then the enemy takes that spot and controls the rest of you. So it lays in that. This is something we all know. We've heard this many times. Inside of you is a soul. There's only one in that self-will. That's faith or doubt. You can decide, am I going to believe what I hear or am I going to doubt what I hear? And if you hear the word of God and you don't like it, you're going to doubt that it's true, because if you really believed it was true, you'd accept it, because who would walk away knowing it's the truth and walk away? I'll tell you who would. The Esau's and the Cain's and those people here, they heard the word of God and they didn't like it, so they walked away. I know that's kind of harsh, but it's just the truth. Because a child of God, they might hear that and they might resist it for a while, but they're going to accept it after a while, because that there's seed in there that has to be satisfied. The only way you satisfy that seed is the word of God coming down and quickening it and making it live. You can't help it. It's what you were born for. You might resist it because you don't like the way it comes. You might not like the ministry. You might not like something about it, but you're going to die to yourself and accept it after a while, because you have to, because that thirst inside is stronger than anything Satan can give you. Aren't you glad for that? Yes. I am too. Where would I be if that hadn't been there? But that spirit realm, those gates into that spirit realm, it controls your emotions. It controls your desires. All this stuff tries to in that spirit realm, but whatever is on the inside is going to end up controlling your spirit realm. And so if you have the word of God in there, because you pass a test and you've been born again, that soul in there is going to end up controlling your spirit realm. But the problem is, especially the older we are before we are born again, we have so much junk piled up by this time, stored away in our spirit realm, that it takes years and years to get all that stuff wiped out of there sometime. And we have this place that just channels. It's like an eight-lane highway just right into like your gate of affection, your gate of imagination, and Satan can just run in there anytime he wants to. And then we wonder why we struggle with this and struggle with that, because since you were a kid, Satan's had access to that. And it's gotten stronger and stronger. Or maybe you can liken it to a tree and put roots down, and you kind of keep pulling roots out, but they're so deep it takes years and years to keep digging down, and you have to keep going, and the preaching comes and it gets harder and harder because you got to keep digging deeper, and some of those roots go really deep. You say, well, this is just the way I am. Well, that's not the way you're supposed to be. God wants you to keep fighting. And you say, well, are you ever going to completely be done? No, not as long as you're in this body. This body is always going to have weakness. This body always has a shot coming at it from the devil. And so as long as we're in this body, we're still going to be struggling. But you can possess your own gates. You do not have to allow Satan to run in and out. There's going to be a battle, but he doesn't have to control you. In fact, he won't control you, because God swore that you will possess the gate of your enemies. It's your promise. That's what we need to be seeing. That's what we need to see in this day. Let me finish this quote here. He said, if you accept the will of God through that spirit, God's spirit takes his place in your heart and controls the rest of you. If you do not accept that, then the enemy takes that spot and controls the rest of you. So it lays in that. Decide who you want to control you. You don't control yourself. And man being made up in that fashion, then it gives him something inside of him that makes him want to achieve something by himself. He's trying to do something to save himself. He wants to get out of it, but he wants to do it himself. He wants to make his own way about it. Brother, if that ain't where we all struggle, We want to have something to do. We want to show that we are holy. We want to prove to God that we love Him. We want to do all these things to try and save ourselves. Because there's something inside of us. That's the problem what we run into. We try, well, I'm going to control my temper. Well, I'm going to control this lust. I'm going to control this greed. I'm going to control my tongue. I'm going to control all these things. But friends, if that is something that Satan has had his way with you, you need Christ to take care of those things. You can't control those things on your own. You need to put it in His hands. Now, I'm not talking about a place you don't have a weakness. I don't have a weakness for wanting to put on makeup. I do not want to wear makeup. That's just not. I have other weaknesses where I definitely have to say, God, if you don't help me, I'm going to be doing this stuff wrong. But there's some things you don't have a weakness, so you don't have to say, well, God, keep me from putting on makeup. I don't want to put on makeup. That's not a weakness. Satan's not going to attack me there. That makes sense? But there is places every one of us are going to be attacked. This is where we need to possess these gates. Look, Abraham, he completely trusted God. He knew he couldn't, if he was going to kill Isaac, he couldn't raise him from the dead. Right? God had to do it. And it's the same thing with us. We look at things that we cannot control and say, either God, you either take care of this, or I will continue to stumble on this thing right here. And a lot of times, it's the thing that we love most in our old nature. The things that are most precious to us, the things that we idolize, what means the most to us is the places where we are weakest. Because like Abraham, he had to take the most prized thing he had and go and kill it. And God says, take the thing you value most and kill it. Now, He doesn't want you to kill people or whatever, but you got to put it on the altar and say, God, you need to take this because I can't do it. And you have to mean it, because you can pray that all the time and still hold on to it. That's not the same thing. Then when we pass the test, we allow Him to save us. We allow Him to produce a bride. We allow Him to produce a rapture. We allow Him to produce holiness when we can pass the test. If we believe, we walk in that until He does it. And then no matter how many thousands of times you fall, you keep getting up because you say, but you promised that I would possess the gates of my enemy. And Satan says, well, if you really believe that, you'd quit doing it. He's right. If you really believe it, you quit doing it. The thing is, you're going to keep believing it, and after a while, you're going to do it. It might not happen right away because it's a test of faith. You run with patience the race that is set before you. Don't go listening to Satan, well, I guess that's not for me because I keep struggling with this. Please. It's just the battle we have to face. Do not get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. That's what Satan wants you to do is say, I just can't do this. I guess it's not for me, and walk away. Friends, that's the battle. Don't walk away just because you keep stumbling over something. Don't walk away and say, well, I must not be born again, or I must not be better. I must not be His. That's Satan telling you. God is not telling you that. Now, if God's telling you to get born again, get born again. But if He showed you've been born again and then you keep struggling with something, don't go lose your faith. What He told you, why did He tell you? You walk in that faith until He performs the rest of it. Just keep going. It's a long, slow process sometimes, and we get discouraged because of our humanity. God knows about it. He knows how you were raised. He knows what's going on. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what word to preach to give you strength to keep going. Then walk in faith. Jeremiah 17, he says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. If He heals you, you're going to be healed. If He saves you, you're going to be saved. Besides that, it ain't going to happen. So quit trying on our own self. Quit getting discouraged in our own ability. That's the problem, isn't it? We want to save ourselves, and when we can't do it, we get discouraged. We're ready to walk away. Well, you're not supposed to have confidence in yourself to begin with. That's not what it's there for. That confidence in yourself can be your biggest hindrance. Biggest hindrance. He said, the streams that God sent to satisfy you in the natural. So there are things God sent to satisfy you in the natural. What are some of these streams? Food. Water. Nature. Friendships. Family. All these things. to satisfy. He gives you jobs so you can provide for yourself. He gives all these things in the natural to satisfy you in the natural. You had to do that. You know, you see some people, I don't do any of those things. I don't have any natural pleasure, whatever. Well, you're just a liar. Because everyone does. And if you don't, that's what the monks and the nuns do. They shut themselves all in a little room so they don't have any natural things. So just concentrate on God. God never called you to do that. That was never God's way. God wants you to get out there and live your life out in the open where everyone can see your light. Don't be shutting yourself off. I preached myself on that. I used to think that was what I was supposed to do. He said, God, the streams God sent to satisfy you in the natural, Satan has polluted every one of them. Everyone. Does that mean you have to stop? Well, our food is polluted. It's been so messed with science and messed with so much it's killing us. So should we stop eating? Because the food is polluted? Go ahead, try it once. I'll come to your funeral. I'm going to look down at your casket and say, you're an idiot. God didn't tell you to quit eating. He says, ask God to bless the food and then eat it. I won't call you an idiot. Yes, I will. That's just religious idiocy. We cannot quit doing these things. You know, you can go out, you know, into the park. I love hiking and all that. But I go out there sometime. Yesterday I was hiking, and there are some people out there who would not dress very well. Well, you know what? I'm going to go and enjoy nature, and I'm not going to, well, I can't go there because there's people like that, and there's people there. I can't go to the grocery store because they dress nasty, and I can't go down the street because they dress. You still have to live, friends, but you can possess those gates. You do not have to lust. You do not have to chase after. You do not have to have all these wicked thoughts. You don't have to do these things. You can be free. Absolutely. Polluted them. So just put everything in God's hand and just live, be led by the Spirit, what He wants you to do. He said He's put the poison dope in every one that we could get into. That's right. And then He gives an example. He took that great stream of the church. And this is where if He can't get you to chase after the worldly things, He's going to chase after religious things. That was God's way. The church is God's way. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Now, there's different arguments of that. The Roman Catholics say He built it upon Peter. If that be so, Peter backslid in shame. So it wasn't. You don't want to have a foundation built on someone who's going to backslide. It sure wasn't built upon Peter. And then the Protestants say He built it upon Himself, Jesus Christ. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The church is built on Jesus Christ. He said, not to be different, but I differed with them. He never built it on either one. He built it on the revelation of who He was. There's the key. That's why even message believers get it wrong. Because they believe in Christ. They believe in the message. And they believe that's enough. But it's the revelation of the message, which is Christ, is the foundation. And if you don't have that revelation of Christ, then your idea of Christ is just the same as the Baptists and the Catholics and the Amish. Everyone has the same Christ. But when it's revealed to you who He is, and He is the Word for your day, made flesh and made manifest, then you see Him different, and you worship a different Christ than they do. They can worship a Christ and do all the things they do and be just fine, but you can't. Because you see the difference. You see the reality of who Christ is. There's the difference. There's your foundation. And then when Satan comes against you, you don't run and say, well, I'm a message believer. Well, I believe this, or I know Christ, or I have an experience. You say, Christ told me. I have a revelation. This is what He revealed to me. And that's where you stand. Not because of some doctrine or some scripture. You can memorize the whole Bible and still be completely lost. That ain't it. And then when you add that, you see what they have to lean to is works. When that's all you have to lean to works because you say, well, look how good I'm living. Look how I'm helping the poor. Look how I'm doing this. And look how I'm nice to people. And look how I treat people so nice. And that's what it's built on is that legalistic approach because they don't have the revelation to build it on. And all you have to do is build it on, look how good I'm living. Mm-hmm. That's not the revelation. And it's weak. And it gets washed away. And people wash right out of their church because they're not built on revelation. Well, I don't know if I built on revelation. Well, friends, it's a time to find out. You can find out. You have to know for yourself. And once you have that rock solid revelation, you're not going to be in and out of church. You're not going to be up and down. You're going to, naturally you are. I'm not talking about that. But there's going to be something solid in there that says, this is real. This is real. This has got a hold of me. You get to the point where you look around and say, looks like everyone in Dixon is just going to backslide right out of here. But one person's going in the rapture out of Dixon is me. I don't care if everyone else goes out of here. I do care. But if everyone else leaves and walks out and I come in the church someday and there's nobody here but myself, I say, well, God, it looks like just you and me, but I'm still going. You know why? Because he revealed something to me. It's something real in here. It's not me up here trying to, well, I believe it's going to be me. I believe it's going to be me. No, you don't. That's just in your mind. It's got to be something down in here. It's got to be reality of something that he put in there. So many people, they just do it in your head. They do it in their head. I was talking to a brother a while back. You know, Brother Bram said, if it would please God that at the end of it, he'd send me to hell. I love him so much, I'd be willing to go to hell. And this brother said, I think I'm at that point. And then you look at his life and you say, you don't even get along with people. You don't even fellowship with certain people if they don't believe what you believe. And you have all this stuff and you're chasing after this and after that. It's just something, a religion they have in their head. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed it to you. He says, not by knowledge. You didn't learn it by books. You didn't learn it by joining church. You didn't learn it in the shops. You didn't. But the Holy Ghost itself has brought the person of Jesus Christ to you then. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. You possess your own gates. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, cannot stand against you. He said that holy thirst has been satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ. There you are. That's the thing that we want to look for, to satisfy that thirst with that. There's a thirst that we have. It's for God. And if you have a seed inside there, you will find nothing to satisfy that. You can chase and chase and chase. And you see people around who have been running in and out, just living horrible lives. And one day God finally gets a hold of them and changes them. Because something inside of them, one reason you live such a horrible life, you're looking for something to satisfy it. Right. I'm speaking from experience there too. And you see other people who have been good their whole life and never find that because they found a satisfaction just in religion. Now, don't go reading into what I'm saying. Well, I've been good my whole life. Does that mean? No. Be good, for goodness sakes. But recognize that thirst in there, if it's real, if it's something that you can't satisfy, that it's got to be Christ to satisfy it. That's why God gave you good parents to raise you to be a good person so you don't have to run out and scar yourself with the world. You don't have to do that. You can find Christ before you go and do something like that. Is that all right? Let me read one more quote. If our heart condemns us not, we know that we're walking in the commandments of God. We see our lives cleaned up. We see it. Got to see it, friends. You got to see that. Even when you're struggling, you see God, the effect it's having as you get more and more faith. Every word that God commanded, we keep it. Then the gates of every enemy is possessed. Then ask what you will, it'll be done for you. He shall possess the gate of his enemy. Oh, brother, what a church that would be. Brother Brandon is not talking to some fairy tale here. Well, once upon a time, or maybe it would happen. He said, what a church that would be. What? When we possess the gates of our enemy, because see, as long as our hearts bring in condemnation, we cannot, we cannot ask what we will because there's still some condemnation. But when we're walking above the condemnation, we can ask what we will because we know we're asking according to his will. Like I said, Thursday night, a lot of times we ask for things, but we don't know if it's God's will or not. So it's just something in our own mind. But when you find out what God's will is, then you can ask it, believing it's going to happen. And when there's no condemnation because you're possessing the gate of your enemy, then there's no condemnation. You can ask in faith. Have you ever been there? It's a great place to be. I wish I was there a lot more than I am. Sometimes I'm not because sometimes I still fall to this and I struggle with that and it gets to some condemnation. But then you repent, you get up and you go forward. You don't do some kind of penance. You don't do something, well, if I do good for a week, I can start having faith again. No, you get up, you repent, you take God at his word. And in spite of all the condemnation Satan's thrown against your mind up here in your heart, you know you're righteous because you took God at his word and you walk in faith anyways. Yeah, that's what God's looking for. And the more you do that, the more you're going to possess the gate of your enemy. I wish I could say it's going to happen just like that, but it's probably not. I've never seen it happen like that with anybody. Never have. So just get ready for the walk. If you're tired of this walk, if you're tired of this race, welcome to the race. That's what it's about. You're going to get tired. You're going to get wore out. You're going to go through dry times. It's about God testing you. And when he's proven you, have you ever had God come to you and say, I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with what you did. I don't know anything that ever made me feel better or more. Oh, I wish it happened more often. He's going to take care of us, friends. He said, when I come back again to Phoenix, if the Lord permits me, I hope when I walk into this tabernacle that these pews will be lined and every pew in the full gospel movement in the city will be lined with saints of the living God. Look like Christians, talk like Christians, act like Christians. And listen to this last quote. He said, with the Spirit of God moving among them to where if one would sin, the Holy Spirit called out right then. Think message believers want that kind of a church? Come in with sin, the Holy Spirit calls it out. Well, it happens here. How many times has it happened here where people are just very direct? Back to the original Pentecost, people were afraid to join themselves to the church. People died doing things wrong. And they didn't want to get called out. They didn't want, you know, like, oh my goodness, these people, they got a power among them. Friends, that's where we are coming to. We're to there to an extent, not as much as it's going to be. We're going to come to a point, if there's still anybody coming to church here, you come in here with sin and it's going to get called out right then. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. And your flesh, our flesh is going to hate it. And that's going to be all right. Because you're going to walk out here restored back to your relationship with Christ. The best thing to do is get it taken care of before you come into church. Oh, sometimes we want to drag our old idols along with us. Say, well, I like this and I like that or whatever. Say, okay, one day. Maybe this is my opinion, but I believe that is happening, and I believe it's going to be more, but it is so close, friends. It's got to be. The reality of what God is doing is so close. So close. Isn't that good? Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we're grateful you would come and encourage us this morning with your word, Lord, and just reiterate your promise to us. You swore that we would possess the gate of our enemy. Oh, Lord, when we look at this, we look at our lives, we look at our weaknesses, we look how we stumble and fall. Oh, my. But the promise is still there. We will possess the gate of our enemy. And, Lord, we know that you will bring us to those situations where we will surrender. We bring us to a situation where you can stand in that gate and take control. So, Lord, I ask to bring us there, Lord. I know that's asking for hardships and trouble. Lord, it will be worth it all one day. It will be worth it all. Lord, don't let anything stand in the way of anyone here going into rapture, Father. Bring each person to a place of complete surrender, Lord, whatever it takes for every one of us. I ask this, Lord, in your name.